Howdy, everyone. Good morning. This is IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'm Texas Homer. That's Paul Wallington. This is the Tuesday Show. We are going to discuss Texas's talent within the SEC, but also the broad SEC. You'll see the depth of why this conference gets called the best, even though we're in contentious times with saying something that crazy. We'll also look at the preseason coaches poll. We'll be able to look at Texas at number one, the top five, that kind of stuff. But anybody that could sneak up on you as well. And then Bruce Feldman dropped his freaks list. Only one Texas player on it. But we can talk about some of the talented guys around college football. First, guys, join InsideTexas.com. It's the best community, funny, smart, snarky, insightful. This brilliant mix of immature humor and really reasoned analysis. It's a really unique spot. Come there, guys. We always have recruiting intel. Of course, Eric is dropping team notes. So if you want to know everything about the team, have the best team notes, all of that stuff, guys, Inside Texas is the spot. You can get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. And you got to get Paul's book, guys, 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thinking Texas Football. It is the best analysis on your favorite team, as well as the SEC, with insights from Eric on recruiting. And Paul does a good portion up front about the new world of NIL, roster management, all that fun stuff. All the links are in the description. You can get physical, digital, whatever you need. Ooh, wow.
Look this at is that. What it looks like. Will Gallagher's excellent photos. Yes, that's sir. More DJ Campbell than we've seen in a few days.
It's true. Good morning, Drew. Morning, Roaster. Justin. Ike. Sandman.
We have such a polite audience.
Eric. They do a good job. And we'll talk about this here in a second. Bert, I'll make sure I read it first, and then I'll throw it up. Paul, you got a question off the bat. Thinking about the JoJo situation, OSU had some big injuries at offensive line last year and still won the Natty. How does our depth compare to theirs? Can any of our offensive guards capably slide over to offensive tackle like Ohio State in 24?
Great question. So OSU was not without some struggles as they worked through some of those O-line adjustments. The good news is for OSU, they had two or three NFL guys in that offensive line, right? And they were able to eventually find a combination that worked. It was probably the weakness of their team, though, on a pretty star-studded team. That was the way to attack them, and that is how Texas, other than Michigan, we had the best defensive game plan and best defensive effort against OSU of any team that they played. So I think they did eventually adjust. I think it was still a weakness. How's our depth compared to them? Maybe comparably, or maybe even a little step back. It's going to depend. Part of the reason of the importance of this fall camp is that we've got to identify more guys we feel comfortable with. So a question that you'd always want to ask Kyle Flood, whether on or off the record, is how many guys do you feel comfortable throwing out there in the fire? I don't mean UTEP in the third quarter. I mean, it's at Georgia and a guy wakes up and he's got the flu. How many offensive linemen do we have that you feel good throwing out there? And you hope the answer you hear is 8. More often than not, the truthful answer for a lot of coaches is 6.
Yep.
Texas back in the day, just 8 years ago, the correct answer was 3.
I was every number. You nailed every number that I – yeah, absolutely.
So do we have any offensive guards that can slide over to OT? Yes. So Jaden Chapman is kind of a utility player. We think he could play some offensive tackle if needed. We're not sure at what level, though. Cole Hudson, in a pinch, can play every position on the offensive line. We're not sure at what level. So we'd have to alter some things. The good news is it's very helpful to have a guy like Arch Manning at quarterback if you're going to have some problems in the O-line, because we can move the pocket with him. We can do some different stuff. And we've got some options at tight end now. Like, we can get big if we need to and help out a struggling right tackle who's in for injury. The big guy with upside is Nick Brooks. And with Kojo going out, we're going to need Nick Brooks to be our third offensive tackle. And that's a tough ask of a young freshman, but we think he's got the talent to do it.
Yeah, the coaches have said that's an NFL player. It's just year one. That's the trick for him. And then a player that you really want to key in on their development is Connor Robertson. So his ability to play center in a pinch, Eric said on his notes just recently, if you're on IT, you read them, that Cole Hudson could potentially move to tackle if it had to happen, right? And so, but you need Connor Robertson to be a good center to do that. So you want to be paying attention to his development because he allows more flexibility, especially with any injuries. Because we're already kind of at the point now where like, all right, no one else is allowed to get injured. So that's going to be the interesting part. And especially we can't afford a tackle to go down. So tough spot. But we do have Arch that can move around. It's not ideal, but Sandman, this was funny. It's 8-5.
Happy Aggie Day.
There we go. That's a good one. I appreciate that.
We got a question from R. Jacob Woodyard.
Loving the prospectus. Please talk to us more about the potential for the Texas offense using cowboy backs.
I dedicate a lot of ink to that. So thanks. I appreciate the compliment. Glad you're loving it. If you're a true Longhorn fan, I promise you you'll get value out of it. So the cowboy back is what the Oklahoma State Cowboys call their H-back or old school H-back. God help us, Tom Herman called his slot receiver the H-back. I don't know why, but do you remember that, Connor?
Yeah, coaches can get weird with like H as the slot, H as H. I think it's a West Coast overhaul.
So to me, the classic H is you're not quite a tight end, not quite a fullback, lines up in the backfield, can move, can insert, can also line up out wide and threaten if he's got a linebacker on him. These are the guys that Oklahoma State and OU used to plague us with, right?
Yes.
The J.D. Runnels, these guys that they can catch, they can block, and they really are a great complement to your football team. So we brought in a guy named Emory Winston, you guys will probably know, and he was able to play a lot in the spring. He's got the classic dimensions of that cowboy back. He's about a little over 6'1", so he's a small tight end. He doesn't have that length. But he's gonna be 240 of it, you know, soon. He's in the 230s right now. And he's a guy who can do all those things that I described. Jordan Washington, I think more of a hand-down traditional tight end, especially now that he's 260. But that's a guy who can do some similar things. So what we're gonna have is we've got a guy from the Oklahoma State staff who used to be their cowboy back coach. So we're going to have our tight ends with that guy quite a bit. That's going to free up Jeff Banks to go work special teams and go do some of that stuff to clean some things up and to maximize in that group the way we were accustomed, because we took a real step back last year.
Yeah.
And I think that is exciting because this cowboy back position really gives you a lot of flexibility in running the football and in the passing game and play action. So that is what is up with that position. And Connor, do you have anything more to add?
No, you did great. The thing with the cowboy backs is that's how they punish you, right? They're moving behind the line all the time, run blocking, and then that one time you're not paying attention or take it for granted, they're going to slip out in the red zone and they're going to score on you. And you're going to be like, who is this walk-on from Milwaukee? And he's going to win the game.
Well, literally, Kansas had a guy, Jared Casey.
Right.
Who won that. The game doing yeah. exactly that.
And then he did Applebee's commercials afterwards.
Yeah, there you go.
And rubbed it in. Man, I remember the despair of that night. I put out some tweets that evening, Paul. I was done.
The University of Kansas has done us some great service, Connor, in the big picture. We owe them a great debt.
Honestly, yes. All right, and then did y'all see the video of Marcel Reed throwing downfield? What did y'all think? Looked pretty rough. I did see the videos of it. It was just him in practice. They were on air. There were no DBs. No, not an accurate thrower of the football right now. You can see it. It's just a little mashup on Twitter of like five throws and misses.
It is funny what video groups will put out on social media.
Yeah.
You could tell maybe they don't understand exactly what they're putting out.
You see it all the time where people will put out incorrect reads or like that's the wrong thing, but they just look for confidence and movement without understanding the context often.
And then they put a third of the clip in slow motion randomly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Marcel, here's the thing, man. Special athlete. You got to design an offense that maximizes him. You don't want to try to make him be the great thrower of the football. He's not a great thrower of the football.
Two predictions I'm feeling increasingly confident about. I've got that August confidence going, Connor. One, I think A&M might have the best rushing attack in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Simultaneous to that, two, I think Marcel Reed's going to miss some time at quarterback and not just because of injury. I think there could come a time this year where Mr. Reed gets put on the pine to watch a series or two and they bring in Jacob Zeno.
Yeah, and that's kind of an A&M thing, you know?
Elko's not shy about it.
Yeah, quarterbacks get hurt. And remember, Colin Klein was doing that patronizing stuff with Will Howard where they're like, you're such a great leader. Anyways, Avery Johnson's in right now. And then Will Howard's like, I'm going to Ohio State.
Also, you're going to need to transfer because we're paying this guy a lot.
It was really lame. Like, they did it for 2 years with like, man, he's our leader. He's just so solid. But anyways, half the game is going to be Avery Johnson. They kept doing that to him. So,
well, the whole play the future movement took a hit at OU, at Kansas State last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I liked Avery Johnson, but it was a player that I was definitely watching. All right. I'm trying to read through these comments, make sure I didn't miss anything. Make sure you guys got all your digs at A&M in. Paul, if you adjust for Quinn stats for games against similar opponents, how do the A-dot and completion percentage by A-dot bucket compare? Throw out Quinn's games against stronger teams.
So he's referencing the fact that in the burnt orange Bible, as I like to call it, Connor, I compare and contrast Arch's A-dot with Quinn's. Quinn's last year was 7.9. Average A-dot is average depth of target. Arch Manning's is 11.1. So Burt Reynolds is asking, hey, if you adjust for opponent quality, is that similar? Yeah, it is. Quinn's bias and our offensive structure was built around the short passing game and the intermediate passing game. And he did hit some deep shots, more particularly later in his career, but it was still a struggle for him. And, certain route concepts, the post ain't going away anytime soon, Connor, in football at any level. And if you can't reliably hit the post, it's going to put a little bit of training wheels on your passing game. And yeah, so if you adjust there, Arch is still going to push the ball further downfield. He's going to keep his eyes downfield, particularly in a rough pocket. And he's always going to have a bias for making a play further down the field than closer.
And you want the post because it's your highest completion of the deep throws, right? So your deep throws are not completed at a high rate, but the post, those outside fade balls, defenses give those up a lot for a reason because you either got to hit a hole shot or they miss because you're out of bounds, right, if you're inaccurate. So it's that's the – if you want to hit, you want to hit middle of the field, even though they can be intercepted more.
What if you hit a fade, your next step might be out of bounds.
Correct. It dies quickly.
If you hit a post, you're not only on the run, right, but you're also angling away from the help in the coverage. Yeah. So that's – deep post ain't going away in football anytime soon.
Yeah. Arch expanding the field is going to help us be more efficient in the high red. Yeah, and Eric's report, I think this two reports ago, is that they were doing 25 and in, so red zone stuff, red area, according to Sark, red zone stuff, and he was finding his matchups well, was getting it to guys he needs to get it to. All of that stuff is going to be crucial for improving scoring efficiencies.
You know that meme generator of the midwit that goes around the internet?
There's a bell curve?
The bell curve, there's the dumb guy, and then there's the smart guy, and there's the guy in the middle, the midwit. It's like, Well, actually, it's actually complex. Both the dumb guy and the smart guy are saying Arch make field big. And the middle guy is saying, actually, quarterbacking is very complex and multifaceted. It
depends on the coverages.
Is it cover three?
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you can, and I can do it too. You can outthink yourself, doing too much analysis. And sometimes it's like, look, man, Tom Brady's good at quarterback. Like, after the ninth Super Bowl he won, I was like, maybe I'm just going to say that this guy will figure it out regardless of the defense. But it always cracked me up when they would try to analyze on ESPN. I'm like, guys, he's just going to win. He figures that out. All right, so we have the SEC recruiting rundown. We're not going through every team, but we're just kind of talking about the overall talent in this league, why this matters, and then kind of putting a number on it real quick so we can understand the depth that we have to face or not face, depending on our schedule in the SEC. Here is, I think, the BCR blue chip ratio. That's a Bud Elliott ratio that he creates, and it's percentage of 4 and 5 stars on your roster. And there's a minimum threshold here that Paul can explain to you real quick.
That's right. So this is actually the recruiting class for 2026. Okay. So I'm just assessing, hey, what's their BCR within that recruiting class? Okay. And the BCR is the cover charge to get into the club. Meaning, if you backtest it, no national champion in college football has had less than 50% 4 and 5 stars on their roster and won the national championship. I further think that the advent of the playoff is going to make that even more of a sort of guarantee, because you're going to have less upset possibilities, right? In a single game elimination. When you have to play a playoff and maybe you're a quote unquote an inferior team talent-wise, you're going to have to play up 3 times at least, maybe 4. And that just gets less and less probable. So the BCR says, if you're over 50% of your roster is 4 stars or 5 stars, you can get into the club. Once you get into the club, your game, what you're wearing, your general vibe, your personality, are you good looking? That's going to determine whether you hook up. Okay. And so once you're in the club in college football with talent, your development, your coaching, your scheme, luck, your development cycles lining up correctly, that random transfer from FCS that you weren't sure was he going to scale up. Oh my God, he's a 1,000-yard receiver. All that factors in. But the cover charge is the BCR. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it's it doesn't to most people, because I keep answering the same questions.
That's football analysis. We just repeat ourselves for eternity. You can answer these questions in an article, and then you'll get it the next day, because not everyone sees it, unfortunately. So we have, I think you quantified this, how many teams are over this BCR metric just within the SEC. I think it's down here, something like this. Half the SEC is recruiting out of 50%.
That's incredible.
That's incredible, yeah.
And by the way, I went and I'm dorky enough to have done this for y'all, but I went and looked like, well, who's close? And I mean, their total roster, South Carolina, believe it or not. So If they have a really good recruiting class, this recruiting class, and They look pretty good, look at that ratio. Yeah. They have a chance of being number 9. How crazy is that?
Yeah. It's so deflating when you read SEC rankings, because you're like, man, we're number 3 in America. And it's like, we're number 3 in the SEC too. Like whenever it's so annoying, you know, because it's relative, you know.
I mean, so Ole Miss is number 9 in recruiting in the SEC. It's number 20 in the country.
Yeah.
Texas, I mean, it's just crazy. Yeah, I mean, OU just outside of that. I think the school that is interesting is Auburn. So they actually are getting pretty good quality. They just don't have the numbers right now. You know, Hugh Freeze has been out golfing. So,
yeah, they're having a weird cycle, right? They because they came on last year really strong, or 2 years ago with NIL. And then this recruiting cycle has been strange for them. And what's disturbing is, like, Oklahoma can clearly get into that 50%. Auburn can do it too. Like, so even in the bottom teams, there's a couple of these that could also, if they're just not being dumb right now, would also be up there.
Yeah, Auburn's recruited well for 3 consecutive years, but they are now sort of withholding and saying, show us something on the field, and then we'll get back into recruiting. So here's a prediction. If Auburn is having a good season and they're breaking out, look for their recruiting ranking to go up pretty quickly. If the Auburn's struggling, look for them to stay right where they are.
Yeah. What's going on with Missouri, dude?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on with Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz has mastered the art of staying ahead of the posse. So his first 3 years at Missouri, he had a losing record because they were playing football teams. The last 2 years, this year included, they've been playing the weakest schedule in the SEC. And so they have the imprimatur of the SEC. We're an SEC. We play an SEC schedule. But they're playing all the bottom teams in the SEC. And so he's built this sense of fake momentum. And he's paired it with the fact that if you're a national or regional recruiting or college football writer and you need a quote or an anonymous quote from an SEC coach, there's only one number you can call, and he's going to provide it for you. So he gets a lot of these little hagiographic, you know, payback pieces. I mean, positive payback of like, Eli Drinkwitz better than Vince Lombardi? Question mark. You know, and it's all payback because the guy is like a walking fountain of quotes for any college football writer that wants it. Kind of like Joey McGuire in Texas.
Yeah.
But media guy. Yeah, I'll talk to you for 30 minutes. So, you know, it just shows that you can inflate your reputation with good relations with the media. And in fairness, they have won some games. And they are now a portal recruiting team. So they're not doing a good job of native development. They're not doing a good job of recruiting, which is surprising. If you'll remember, Missouri high schools and the state of Missouri was the pioneering state that said a high school senior can get NIL.
Right.
And
they were making splashes.
The thought was, oh my God, the Missouri Tigers, right? They're going to do Luther Burden every year, right? They're going to kill it. The truth is they're just now a portal team. And they're pretty good at it. They make good evaluations. Cody Schrader, they got him from Truman State. He led the SEC in rushing, right? And they got him for free. They're good at tampering. They got Caden Green from OU. They got Theo Weiss from OU.
Ahmad Hardy.
Yep, they got Ahmad Hardy. You can't have a freaking live with Connor unless Ahmad Hardy is mentioned. Yeah. And there's Quinn Ewer criticism. So the Ewer's criticism is coming. Just guys all.
No, didn't we get it in earlier?
Let me get it in. But yeah, and they went and got Jalen Catalan. Like they went and got Damon Wilson from Georgia. So if Missouri was not working the portal the way they were, they'd be in a lot of trouble. But yeah, Drinkwitz just signed an extension through 2029. So his little scheme is working, and no one in that administration is looking too hard at that ranking that I have right there down at the bottom.
You don't like him though. I like him. It's such a transparent car salesman that it's like
he apparently knows not.
That, but to me, it's like he knows that you know. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's kind of like a game there.
He might know that you know, Connor. Yeah. I'm not sure everybody else knows.
Yeah, but I like his. It's kind of one of those things. If he became a real threat in recruiting, I'd hate him. But he's not like a real threat. So to me, it's just kind of amusing what he does. Shout out.
You just got a little echoey, buddy.
Oh, no. Am I echoing now?
Work on your gain, bro.
Audio malfunction. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. I'm just saying you're echoey.
Echoey. Are you still echoing?
All right, chat. You let him know.
My mic is screwed up. Let me know how it sounds now, and then I'll try to
sound a little better.
I sound better?
Yeah.
Okay. What's interesting is Vanderbilt here, 5.6 over Mississippi State and Missouri.
Yeah. All negligible. I mean, look, Mississippi State, they're just trying to get like SEC bodies in their program, and they're going to play to a system, right? So they may have slightly different recruiting requirements than some of these other teams. Vandy, you kind of would hope they would have capitalized more on last year. Not really seeing it. But again, what we consider to be the bottom of the SEC, Vanderbilt would be what? Upper mid-tier in the Big 12, right?
Yeah. The delusion of this team, too, that they're just like, yeah, we're planning to win a national championship is my favorite part of dealing with Vanderbilt right now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me? All right. Are we good, chat? Let me know.
Your mic is messed up.
In what way?
Just the way that you're messed up, man. We've talked about some of that stuff offline.
All right, they're saying, yes, I'm good. All right, we're good. So my favorite thing about Vanderbilt is all the media appearances where they're going to win the national championship, and they truly believe that that's going to occur.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, hey, man, it's a great story, but I don't think they're going to the playoffs, as Mr. Pavia has opined.
Cool. All right. Before we keep going, guys, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
All right. Who's ready?
I'm open.
All right. You guys are sending me the mixest messages I've ever seen.
I think some of them are messing with you now, Homer.
Okay, because I was going to say, it's just not, it's like, yeah, you're good. And then it's, no, not going to happen. All right, so we'll keep going.
I'll try making the host dance.
For them. I know, they do. All right, they're joking. All right, cool. All right, it's moved back. We should be good. My audio gain is down. We're going to continue as usual. Quit messing with me, guys. All right, cool. Anything else that stuck out to you here, Paul?
If people are wondering what's going on at OU, I wrote a very comprehensive series of articles about it in the 2025 Longhorn prospectus. So check it out, because I got to pat myself on the back. It's proving prescient on every single development that's happened. I mean, I wrote those articles and I was like, am I kind of going out on a limb here? And then Jim Nagy shows up at SEC Media Days and he's holding court. And then OU fans have been posting Jim Nagy's talks, like, because he's doing the rounds, like appearing at OU functions. And everything I said is right on. It's amazing the way it's working out.
I just love the concept of, like, that they're going to find value where 130 other programs, like, they're like, we didn't even think to look at three stars. That's the strange kind of thing.
Perhaps you're not familiar with a concept called Moneyball, Connor.
Yes. Which, yeah, good luck. And I get it, man. If you're saying that there's similar measurables with a three star and a five star, sure. But this is a highly competitive industry. These people move around from school to school. To think that you're just going to consistently, now you might find one or two, but consistently find those values enough to build a winning team in the SEC is a little silly.
Yeah.
So that's where it's, but hey, if it works, I'm watching OU's management. That seems interesting. And I'm watching Texas Tech's hit it with a hammer style. Those are two schools that, hey man, if you got to start to have success, Tech's not hard to break down. It's like, okay, that's a money play. But if OU does have success, you know, pay attention to it type of thing. All right, guys. You ready to look at Feldman's freaks?
Yeah, you want to knock out a couple of questions that came up before we do that?
Yeah, let's see what we got here. Is there anyone specifically you want to pull up first?
I got a question from Ryan Nelson. Another question about the Cowboy back usage.
Okay, let me see.
Or they're up from Jason S.
Let's see. Here, just read it aloud. I'm getting lost in the chat.
No problem, man. Homer getting thrown off has just ruined everything.
Ever since the mic, dude, I can't even function, apparently.
He shook. Look at him. He's trembling.
Oh, no.
Nick Townsend, another option for Cowboy back. Michael Terry III. Nick Townsend's more of a traditional tight end, but he could certainly be the move tight end, but he's more of a traditional split out or hand down next to the tackle tight end. He's 260 plus, but yeah, he can line up in the backfield and do insert, and he can get out in the flat. We're talking more about a guy who's almost like a quasi fullback, quasi tight end in how they're built. Michael Terry, no. Michael Terry's not going to be really like a lead guy on a linebacker, but his athleticism, I mean, I would run him maybe there on a waggle or a little gadget play, because his athleticism there would be incredible. But, you know, he's about 220. We're looking at guys that are 235 plus and that kind of have a bias for contact and blocking and doing some of the dirty work. I think Terry his body is ultimately going to tell where he goes, but he's not ready for that quite yet.
And I was even surprised. We had that clip from him running that route downfield. I didn't even realize he moved that well.
He fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, watching him in high school, I mean, he looks like a grown man, but you don't know how much of that is related to relative to the player he's running by.
Yes.
But I was really impressed with his speed because I thought to me, it's like this will be kind of a Debo, not Debo in his build, but Debo in his versatility. But man, there was, when I saw that, I was like, he can just line up in the slot if you need him to. I was really impressed by that.
And then Ryan Nelson had a question. Paul, are you going to pick Michigan or OU week two? I am picking the under. The under was 47.5 on that game. I have already bet the under. So I think there's a good chance Michigan is starting a true freshman quarterback. They don't have a lot of wide receiver options that are particularly dynamic. When that combo is on the field, say whatever you want about OU and Brett Venables, but he'll come up with a good defensive scheme for that. Yeah. And there's going to be a lot of pressure and a lot of energy from the OU crowd because they understand this is an early statement game. And then on the other side of the ball, I'm assuming Martindale is going to scheme it up correctly after Sark gave him a little spanking and taught him that college football is not exactly the same as what he was trying to do in the NFL that got him fired. So, yeah, I'm liking the under on this one. I honestly think the game is a coin flip. So I don't have strong feelings because both teams have some big glaring weaknesses that the other can exploit. I mostly think that touchdowns and points are going to be very precious in that game.
Well, Underwood, if you watched his spring game, he is special. Like the ball, how the ball comes off his hand. Like,
it's incredible.
It's like it's otherworldly, but he also has no clue what he's doing. So it's like it's that regard. Like you see him throw it and it's very simplified, but he doesn't have any command yet. But man, those just like base traits. If he can figure it out semi quickly, what a special player. All right. Any more questions, Paul?
Let's see. Quick question from Manuel Soto. Super random and not related to the topics. But did On3 change to Rivals or did they merge? Connor, what happened?
They didn't change. So On3 acquired Rivals, right? The business of On3 bought Rivals. And so what they did was they took – before that, On3 had its recruiting operation and then its news operation, right? Its articles about Alabama's team and then also their typical recruit rankings. So what they did is they took their On3 recruit stuff, moved that over to Rivals. So Rivals is now like the home of the totality of the recruiting side. And then On3 remains like the national media hub. But all of the fan sites, like what we are, Inside Texas, all of that stuff, we still do all our recruiting and all of that still on three. It's a little confusing, but basically how you have to think of it is like On3 is a network and then fan sites are independent, but then come and sign with the network. And so you kind of get to keep your ecosystem exactly intact. So Inside Texas, nothing's changed for us. It's only really changed at the national level for their coverages, but On3 bought Rivals.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the only thing it's done for Inside Texas subscribers is give you more stuff and give you more cool things, including that year subscription to The Athletic. So if you're someone who hangs out and does these YouTubes with us, we appreciate you. We love you. Dude, you got to join Inside Texas. Like, that's where the best conversation's happening. You're just getting a trickle of that conversation here on the public-facing YouTube.
Yeah, and you can tag the mods at any point with any question. And they legally have to show up and answer you
immediately. If I don't answer your question within 24 hours,
yeah,
I don't even want to describe what happens to me.
So. Yeah, it's pretty brutal, dude. Cole Kublik said that OU has the best defensive line in the nation by far. Am I missing something here? Because I don't see it. Thanks for the chat.
First of all, I love Cole Kublik. I think he does great job. He's not like lazy opinion media guy. He actually goes and watches and spends time on this. He's very impressed by OU's defensive line. Part of that is projection. I do think it's a team strength. I do think they're going to have a very good defensive line, actually, because they've got a few guys, particularly on the interior, who are going to just be coming into their own. And then the outside, they've got good edges. Are they the best in the nation by far? No, I don't see that at all. So if that's an accurate representation of Cole's opinion, I would say I disagree with him. But do they have one of the best D-lines in the SEC? Yeah. If not the best, I'd say top three.
Yeah, they have players on the defensive line.
Yeah, they got some dudes. And some of them are guys that are young that they recruited that are coming up, that are kind of coming into their own. But yeah, and some guys that maybe came into their own a little later. Also, remember, I know that our offensive line gets a magnifying glass put on it last year from some of the performances, which we can debate. Another reason to read Inside Texas is I might have a different opinion on our woes in pass blocking, and it's not just the offensive line. But, you know, we dominated OU's defensive line, right? That defensive line was a huge problem for a bunch of other SEC teams, to include Alabama, to include, you know, several other good teams. So just realize that just because we handled them doesn't mean that they weren't a problem for other teams.
Is it better than ours? Getting to the real question.
That's a great question. I'm starting to feel kind of optimistic about
it. So am I. I would have, yeah, same here.
Our interior D-line, I would have said, we've got them on the edges, but I don't know about the interior defensive line. If what I'm hearing is not just a bunch of burnt orange Kool-Aid, this defensive tackle room is better than anticipated. So we shall see. Let's go watch some live football and see. But I'm starting to feel like maybe Mr. Kubelik may have to reevaluate the best defensive line in the country.
Yeah. And I think, didn't Kubelik say this on Pate's show? By the way, they just announced a couple minutes ago, Pate and On3 signed a deal. So Josh Pate is going to continue with his YouTube show. Nothing's going to change there. I know a bunch of y'all are fans of that. But he's partnering with On3 Rivals now to deliver the recruiting news and then all that stuff. So Pate, with a partnership with On3 Rivals, just got announced, I think, 4 minutes ago. So any of you guys that are Josh Pate fans, go sign up Inside Texas, guys. He's gonna be near, I guess. All right. Now, Paul, it's Freaks List. We only made one. Let's look at the one.
Freaks List is really fun. It also tells you which schools Bruce Feldman has the most relationship with. I'll just leave it at that.
So, well, last year,
when Miami is going 5-7, you're guaranteed to have four hurricane freaks on there.
Yeah, so it was weird when we had Baron Sorrell on it. I love Baron Sorrell, but like as a freak, because I still try to figure out the metric. You know, does it just mean really strong for frame? Like, what is it?
Impressive physical stats in varying ways.
Yeah, you
know, obviously he's going to show Trevor Goosby dunking a basketball, right?
And he does. That's our boy right here, Justin Wells, baby.
There it is.
This is Goosby. Let's see what we got here.
So easy.
Well, I love
like a 9-foot goal.
Well, it's also funny how like they're like, that's a 6'7" guy dunking a ball. And it's like, yeah, have you seen NBA players? Like, yeah, it happens all the time. Like, I get it for football, but like that in just one sport over, it's like, yeah, 6'7" guys dunking the ball.
I think the bigger point is that he's over 300 pounds, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we got Shaq.
Okay, Shaq.
Yeah, he's not a freak. But yeah, that it's always like, he can dunk. It's like, yeah. Are there any of these that kind of stick out to you? I don't know how much you got to look over it
yet. I didn't read them.
Cool. So number one is Jeremiah Smith. I'm cool with that.
I don't have any debates about that.
His movement, I was watching him run routes at practice. For his size to move like that, it doesn't even make sense. I don't even know how his ligaments allow for such a thing.
I mean, it's funny that, because you always will have contrarians, and you know, even when Vince Young was on his tear the year he should have won the Heisman, there are people like, I don't know, you know, I don't know about Vince Young. People always have – there's always a contrarian, you know. I don't – is there any single
– I was going to say –
that doesn't think he's clearly the best receiver?
No, and it's – and even like whenever he stepped on the field – I watched this funny video with him that saying, you know, some of the, his drive comes from getting cut from a peewee league at 7 years old. And I'm just like, athletes have to come up with the strangest motivations. It's like, Jeremiah Smith, you won the genetic lottery. You really don't need motivation. Like, your motivation to just be, I'm really good at football. I'm going to continue to play. But they have to, like, reach back to, like, I remember when I was disrespected at age 7. It always just cracks me up.
You got to find stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the ultimate freakiness beyond the stats and the physical attributes. He's a true freshman. If he'd gone out in the NFL draft, he would have been probably the fourth pick.
For sure.
I mean,
he didn't even need to go to college. Like, if you could literally go straight from high school with him, it's pretty wild.
By the way, squats 530. So yeah. For all the people who are the school of, like, wide receivers don't need to squat, it's not football functional. Well, is it a coincidence that the freakiest of freaks at wide receiver is really strong in the weight room?
Well, my thing too is just, like, I don't know a sport where squat isn't going to benefit you. You know, like, it's such a, like, just for existing as a regular guy, you need to do squats. Like, it's such a valuable movement. It targets so many muscles. It's a great exercise. It sucks, but it's a great exercise.
We've had former SNC coaches at the University of Texas who have said that it doesn't apply to the football field. Good stuff. It's probably why we went 4-8, 5-7.
It's insane. One catch for 3 yards against didn't look that good. So this is the tough part of being a great hit. Did you guys watch, like, Receiver on Netflix? Came out a couple years ago. They just talk about, and they do a good job of displaying how contingent that position is on everything else. You know, the snap, the quarterback, the coverage. You can eliminate single receivers, and you saw us do that just schematically. You can have two on them. The quarterback's taught pre-snap to not even kind of look over there anymore. So that's the tough part about being an elite receiver at times. That's why when you have a killer number two, that's what really unlocks your offense, because you can double guys in man. You can, you know, get rid of them in quarters, that kind of stuff. But yeah, taking Jeremiah Smith out of that game was a great defensive game plan. But that'll happen. I mean, that's what, when you're in the playoffs, you're going to take away their biggest weapon. He's just a special, special player. All right. Caden Proctor, Alabama at number two.
Gigantic.
6'7", 366. With 274 pounds of lean mass. I guess they DEXA scanned, old boy.
He squatted 815.
This summer, he squatted 815, bench 535, power clean 405. So, yeah, I'm good with you being.
I want to see his squat depth.
And he has a 32-inch vertical that is as much or more than five of the wideouts who are at this year's
combine. A 32-inch vertical at 360 plus is insane.
Yeah, this dude hates gravity, dude. He does not respect it at all.
You know, it's a freaks list when Nick Harbor is number three, because when you guys see his size and his 100-meter time, and this isn't the coach's 40 stopwatch. This is electric, electronic.
Laser.
6'5", 245, 10-1, 100 meters. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Nick Harbor opted out of the Olympic trials to just go full football his senior year.
The big trick is, can he play wide receiver?
Can he catch balls, like, while people are trying to push him?
Because we know he's a track athlete. I mean, what a special combination of size and speed.
Justin Wales asked the important question, Connor, for every one of these guys.
But can he dunk?
But can he dunk?
I guarantee you he can win
that. I think he can dunk.
that dude can dunk. Defensive tackle at Oregon, Washington, 6'3", 338. 36-inch vertical jump, squatted 755, bench 475, power clean 385. Bruce Feldman's in with the strike staffs. That's the only way you're getting these numbers.
Well, so. And this is propaganda, too. I mean, like, no, it could be true propaganda.
It's true propaganda, yeah.
But they want to be on the freaks list because people are like, oh, look. And the funny thing is the SNC coaches will be like, we made these guys. That it's like, Caden Proctor could squat 600 pounds when he was 13 probably.
Yeah, like, these are – mom and dad had a lot more to do with
this. Dodd and mom and dad had a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
You know what is interesting, to be a complete nerd, but look, go back up slightly to that Oregon defensive tackle. You'll see the huge squat, big bench, and then his power clean is good. It's not crazy. And part of that is because power clean is an expression of power. It's a different expression of your strength. It's strength over time, right? That's what power is. So that is more genetically linked. So in other words, there are guys out there who can bench 500 pounds and they can't power clean more than 275. It's a genetic measure. It's your ability to recruit your muscles throughout your whole body quickly. And so that's why it's always really encouraging. If you see a guy who's not weight room strong yet, but he's got a big vertical leap and he's got a big power clean, that guy is real powerful. So now your goal is like get him strong too.
Yeah.
And when you get those combined, ooh, Lord, you don't want to be across from that guy in a football field.
Yeah, you got players. We'll just go through the top 10 real quick and then we can wrap up this. Peter Wirtz, Clemson, defensive tackle. Good production. We know he's a good player. His latest body comp right now. Yeah, composition scan. So DEXAs, I guess. Show that 240 of his 310 pounds are lean muscle. He's a rare combination of size and speed. Yes. He benched 490, did 34 reps at 225.
Oh, my God.
Squatted 7. I don't know how you don't fatigue out. That's not even a strength thing at that many reps. You know, it's just like,
I mean, it is. It's derivative of your max, but it's, yeah. I think when I was really lifting, the most I've ever done with 225, I think I did 14.
Yeah, it's like
people are like, ooh, that's like in my little local gym, people are like watching, like, ooh, that's really strong. It's like, that's like a wide receiver at the combine.
Yeah, but you can't compare yourself to the 1% athlete. I mean, for a normal guy.
I came up wanting.
I'm trying to give you a credit. I'm saying for a normal guy, that's impressive. But we can't do that right now. We're so screwed up by, like, we just study athletes all the time. We're like, well, that's nothing, man.
What's crazy is with guys this big running sub 5.040s.
Yeah.
Like, that's fast. Like, guys, real 40 times. There were dudes on your high school football team in the defensive backfield and at receiver who ran a 4.8.
I ran a 5.7. Offensive line.
Awesome.
Yeah. 5.7.
Hell yeah.
I was hoping to break 5.5.
You
know what?
You got that down from a 6.0, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of hard work there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was one of those things like, yeah, I don't think football is really the future. Let's learn football.
Maybe I'm going to learn film.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to learn art.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone be like, yeah, he went from 5.6 to 4.3 through hard work. Doesn't happen. All right. He is 4.8, 6.40, like I said, jump vertical jump 33. Top 5 NFL pick kind of stuff. Oh, dang it. McKinley at LSU. Remember, we were after him.
Yeah, I wish he was at Texas.
Yep. So he's special. Then they start with talking about Harold Perkins for some reason. 6'6", 308. Wow, vertical jump 35, broad jump 10 feet, power cleaned 418 pounds. We ran out of weights for him to max squat. It's a 650-pound max squat. That would have been nice. That would have been real cool. Ooh, we got a center freak here, Paul.
Oh.
Let me zoom in for you here, brother.
Oh, Logan Jones. Yeah, he's one of the best centers in the country.
I always like – here we go. 705-pound squat. Whenever you get an offensive lineman, they're just going to have stupid strength numbers. 36-inch
vertical for a center. Dude, oh, my God. His split is 1.53.
Yeah. Yeah.
409 shuttle. Oh my gosh.
470 hang clean.
Dude. So a 1.53 10 yard split is like comparable to when you guys see the NFL combine. A lot of NFL edges will do that. That's crazy.
That's insane for a center.
Good heavens.
Penn State, Zane Durant, defensive tackle. They like his IQ. Well, guess what? We're not doing IQ tests. what's his vert? 4.6, 6.40. Gosh. Max velocity of 21.1 as a DT. Vertical jump 30 and a half. Still crazy. Bench 425, squat at 660. Power clean 345. Oh, Kildrick Fault, Auburn.
Yeah.
So he had good production. He doesn't turn 20 until a few weeks after this season. That's impressive.
Squatted 700 pounds this offseason.
Benched 415. He's a good player, man.
Yeah,
he was super raw, but like all the athleticism was completely there. Sonny Styles, Ohio State linebacker. Is he the one that popped Gunnar Helm over the middle?
I get their two linebackers looked exactly the same, and I get them confused. I can't remember the play.
One of those linebackers got Helm. Bam.
They had some – Cody Simon was the other guy, right?
Yeah.
They both are like 6'4", 240.
Yeah, 6'4 and a half, 243. Broad jumped 11 flat. Vertical jumped 40. Squatted 675.
Good God.
His body fat percentage is 10%. That's really low. You'd almost want more body fat on him.
Yeah, I was going to say, so people get in public discourse like, oh, this guy's 2% body fat. No, he's not.
No, he's not. He'd be like, dead.
True body fat, if you're at 10, you're ripped. This dude's got a six-pack.
If you want to see low body fat, you need to go look at a bodybuilding competition. And those guys can't even sustain those levels of low body fats for more than a couple weeks, maybe a couple months.
Well, and they walk like they're walking on coals. You know why? They don't even have enough fat in their feet. So yeah, when they put their feet, bare feet on the hard ground, it like hurts.
Well, it also destroys your hormones. So like the irony is that the most masculine you can look as a bodybuilder, if they're not altering their testosterone, and 99% are, but they're even at that point, they're at freakishly low. It destroys your testosterone levels. It's hard.
Yeah, I think they supplement that, Connor.
They do. But if you watch like natural comps, Yeah, dude, right now.
Okay.
I know, it's been controversial. A lot of people are like, are you natty, dude? But yeah, right now I'm natty, dude.
Liver King, natty. Did you know that?
Sure.
He just eats liver.
Yeah, that's all you need. 10%, like I said, that still feels really low. I mean, you could be at 15 and be fine. But that's interesting. All right, top 10. But yeah, those are just special athletes. That center to me is like number one. Like Jeremiah Smith and then center at number two. Because that's pretty wild athleticism that he's able to put out. All right. So how is Hill better than him? I mean, it's not all your measurements.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just all testing, we'd just go to a powerlifting meet and grab a bunch of guys, and those guys would get slaughtered. They don't have the athleticism.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can still be better than – it's just these guys are – the freaks list is a good proxy for you're going to get drafted high, because it's basically saying, look, all you're saying right now is they're going to test well. And if you test well, they don't really – your production needs to be at probably a minimum threshold. But the NFL is arrogant. Like, we can change them. We can fix them. So as long as you're – they're the toxic girlfriend. They're like, don't worry. You were in a bad relationship before, but we can fix you.
Justin Wales raises an interesting point, probably to move on. I'm watching this at the gym, and this is making me really insecure.
Yeah, don't worry, dude. These are just the 1% of genetic freaks that are in our world. Normal guy at the gym, you're still crushing it. All right. Let's pull up the coaches poll, Paul. But before we do that, who's the best mortgage man in all the land?
His name is Gabe Winslow. And my message to you is very simple. And this is why you got to write down this number. 832-557-1095. What's that message? If you currently own your house, you own it, you got a 6.5% or higher mortgage, call Gabe right now. He can probably refi you for free. There's no catch. There's no gimmick. Gabe is a high volume guy. He gets special programs all the time. Interest rates are pretty favorable right now. You've got a narrow window to lower your payment with no strings attached by simply calling 832-557-1095. Again, if you're at a 6.5% or higher interest rate, call that number. There's a very, very good chance he's going to be able to refi you for absolutely free. Your monthly payment goes down, and you can put that towards your new gym membership, if you're feeling inspired, or you can put it towards UT football tickets or our super chats. Call Gabe 832-557-1095. There's no gimmicks. This is not nonsense. Give him a call. He can refi you for free.
Shout out, Gabe.
Let's do it. When he told me about that, I was like, really? How are you doing this? And he explained it, and it's pretty cool. So give him a call, guys. Seriously.
That would be great to refi if I lived in the Austin area.
But that doesn't have anything to do with Austin or anything. He does the entire state of Texas. Mortgage guys are licensed in a state. They're not licensed in a city. He's also licensed in several other neighboring states. So AR, you got to give him a call. If you really are being serious, it's a legit program, and Gabe is phenomenal at what he does.
For sure. All right, Paul, we got the coaches poll. It dropped. Texas is officially the number one preseason team in the coaches poll. This is the first time ever, Paul, that Texas has been preseason number one, which is pretty wild.
Hey, can I stop 1 sec? The chat's asking. Gabe is licensed in multiple states. Call his number and find out. I'm not going to ask him if he's licensed in Rhode Island. So, and if he's not licensed in a state, he's got people that he can put you with that he trusts and are good at what they do. So give him a call.
Texas number one, Ohio State number two, Penn State three, Georgia four, Notre Dame five. It's so sad to see what happens to Georgia, man. Like, what a fall off, dude. They're all the way down at number four, dude. They're going to have to fight, Paul. They're going to have to figure it out. They're being totally disrespected at number four. But
all right, can I just say something?
Four is yours, Paul.
Every team in this poll is overrated.
Beautiful.
Do you not see that?
Support your argument, Paul.
Arch Manning. Oh, take the last name off. He's nobody. Ohio State. They lost everyone. Penn State. James Franklin can't win the big game. Yeah. Georgia, they're in descent, dude. Why don't you check their traffic logs? Who's here? Notre Dame? They lost to Northern Illinois. Are you joking? Clemson? We destroyed them in Austin. We had 500 yards of offense. Oregon? They're just there for the payoffs. They got blown out by Ohio State last year. Alabama's a joke.
Saban's gone.
They're in descent. LSU? Brian Kelly. LOL. LOL. I'm going to say it. LOL. Brian Kelly can't win the big game. He can't win an opener. Miami, are you joking? This is their first like winning season in like last year and like years. Arizona State, joke. Big 12. Illinois, is that even a school? That's irrelevant. South Carolina lost everyone off their defense. Read my burn orange Bible. I explain it. Michigan, freshman quarterback, get out of here. Who's number 15 in that graphic?
Ole Miss.
Oh, Ole Miss. They bought their team last year. Last year was their shot. They blew it against Kentucky. SMU, joke. Get out of here. Florida, DJ Lagway's already in a body cast. Tennessee, they haven't been relevant. And Nico Iamaleva, I can't pronounce his name, and it doesn't matter anymore because he plays for UCLA now. Indiana,
paper tiger. Schedule.
They got whipped in the playoff. Kansas State, Big 12, LOL. A&M, haha, happy 8-5. Iowa State, they lost their two best receivers. They got blown out in the Big 12 title game. Get out of here. BYU, their quarterback had sex. Texas Tech, JV Joey, it's a joke. They're freaking signing Ojo is not going to help them this year. Ojo's in high school. And then Boise State lost Ashton Gentry. Every team on this list is overrated. It's a joke. I'm so tired of these polls.
That was honestly impressive to just roast 25 teams straight out. I didn't
have to roast them. It's all just true. It's just common sense.
But that is why this year is kind of fun, right? Because we had the world of Saban and Kirby where it was just preseason. It's inevitable, right? So this is going to be fun.
Right before the season, Arch has sex. We have to kick him off the team.
He would never do such a thing, dude.
Okay.
Well, never do. Come on, man.
I just hope I hope the good-looking, in-shape quarterback at the University of Texas isn't that.
No, of course
also not. Also super rich and famous.
They're not. Dude, he's in the film room.
Speaking of paying the cover charge, I don't think Arch even has to pay the cover charge.
And also self-deprecating on top of all this stuff.
That's right. He's actually like a really good guy.
So he has all the – he should be wearing the fur jackets and just being a monster of a human being, but he's not.
Fur jackets.
I'm thinking like Montana or whatever. He just needs to be wearing fur jackets and sunglasses. So we need – So this is I'm going to do my argument right now because this is a pet peeve of mine. Before anyone says preseason rankings don't matter, they do not matter in the sense practically, but humans are easily influenced by others and crowds. What you'll find out is these coaches' polls, AP polls, all end up being incredibly similar to the week one polls. So the advantage here of being really one through three, it doesn't really matter. You're going to end up being one through three when they actually start ranking. And then it basically pads you with a free loss. So Texas loses early. Now they go to eight. But if you start off as 15th and you lose that Ohio State game, they're going to ding you down to 25. And now you don't have another loss. So that's why these are matter for shaping perceptions, because these do end up mirroring the real polls later on. So you do want to be high, because it basically pads you with a free loss at some point in the season.
All right, I'm not interested in all your data and logic. Here's the deal. All 25 of these teams are overrated. You want my proof?
No, yeah, I think you did it. If you just go back.
More proof?
Yeah, sure.
Some of these teams won't be in the playoff.
That's true, man. And how do you even counter such a good point?
Done. That's how you know how overrated these teams are.
Yep. They – I'm surprised.
What, 42 teams in the college playoff? 30, 37? Yeah.
Well, technically, Paul, a season is technically a playoff. So everyone's in the playoff. Oh,
that's why every game matters.
Yeah. I mean, what is a season if not a playoff?
What is life if not a playoff,
Connor? That's true. Life is just like a playoff. Texas number one is cool. It's good for marketing. That's what these are good for. So I like it number one. I'm surprised they put Texas at number one. They generally will take kind of the lazy route and just put the champion at number one. You can make arguments, man, for really anyone in the top three. I think Clemson's even low too, just with their path. The amount, remember we were looking at potential first rounders on teams, and Clemson had like 50. And there's more than the first round picks. So Clemson's interesting here. Luckily, let's see here. One.
If you were a cool producer, you'd be doing the Jim Mora playoffs clip right now.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? Playoffs? We're just trying to win a game.
Yep. They all say that, but they know how the Game of Thrones works.
So and you're saying the top three are the legit contenders?
No, if I'm really opening up to like real contenders for winning, I think you're dealing with like a top eight here.
Yeah,
I
think most years it probably is three, right?
Yeah, but it just feels like those three are the most easily defensible to the average fan, I guess you could say. Even though everyone hates Franklin for whatever reason, but it makes sense. But really, true contenders to me, maybe even nine with LSU. There's a lot of teams, and this is getting fun, man. Because, like I said, Paul gave the negative argument for all of them. There's positive arguments for all of them. So it's going to be interesting.
I'm just worried about Arch getting kicked out now.
Yeah. Please start that rumor mill.
The chat had some really good points.
Do you have a number one in your mind?
Yeah. I'm looking at him, buddy.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Hey, Connor's going to get a haircut today, guys.
Guess what, guys? Noon. I'm going for my annual haircut, guys. It's going to be big.
He was so excited about his haircut that he shared it in the group chat.
And beard trim. Now No, dude, I'm going to do my beautiful part that I've had since first grade.
Okay.
I'm going to shorten this down. They're going to trim the beard. I'm going to tell them not to take too much off of it. They're still going to take too much off of it. And that's how it'll go. It goes every time.
So my son is still at the age when I tell him to go comb his hair like we're going to a restaurant or something, he brushes his hair straight forward. You know what I'm talking about? You know how little kids, like little boys, think that, like, I look good now, and it's like Dumb and Dumber. It's like Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you can put a little part in your hair and just brush it over. Like, I don't want my son to ever spend time brushing his hair or like looking in a mirror too much, but also don't comb your hair straight down.
Yeah, checking my last haircut, dude, because I have to look at my pictures to get it right.
Okay.
January. So
have you thought about getting blonde tips?
First off, in third grade, there's a sick picture of me. White tee, puka shell necklace. Didn't Texas, by the way. No, there's no coast near me. Puka shell necklace, frosted tips, dude. That was that period in time where
you should have played baseball.
Yeah, I know. If you could, a third grader could look like a douchebag, that was me in third grade.
Also, when you're a certain age, you go through a phase where you think getting a chain would look cool. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's all puka shell, but like that, you know, I remember telling my dad in sixth grade I wanted a chain.
Yeah.
And my dad is reading the newspaper and he just put it down slightly and he said, like a woman. But it like started
reading. And then it's immediately. You're doing it. Like,
okay, well, maybe not. Maybe I just want a new bike.
The rest of your life, you're just like, no chains, dad.
Yeah, right.
No chains. But I'm cool with the top 25. I really like when Texas is number one. So I'm down with it. You can make four and negative arguments, but it is interesting. We'll see what happens when AP drops or whatever, I think, next week. And also there's some politics to the coaches poll, if the coaches even fill them out. It's the SIDs that are filling these out.
What?
But yeah, it's not are really.
Are you breaking news here? Is this reporting?
I'm reporting live on IT Live that oftentimes these are not the coaches filling these out, but there is some politics to it, right? If you're more liked, you can also get up there as well. Steve Sarge,
2008 Texas.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little politics there.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll see. But Paul, you've been talking up Illinois, right? Isn't that one of the teams you're excited about?
I think they're going to surprise, yeah, a little bit from expectation. But now that they're ranked 12th, they're not surprising anyone. So, yeah. My talking up Illinois was before this was released. And now I'm like, well, I don't know if they're that. I don't know if they're 12. My talking up Illinois was that I thought they'd exceed their 7.5 win total preseason.
What do you think about the Gators at 17?
So probably no team has a higher ability to rise or fall. Like, without DJ Lagway, this team is going 5-7, 6-6, right? Maybe I don't think they can go 6-6, to tell you the truth. But with him, and if everything hits the way I think, and I'm pretty high on them, if you read my preview, if you read my pamphlet, this is easily a playoff team if everything hits. So, and they'd be very dangerous in the playoff.
Dude, if they get into the playoff, yeah, that means they survived a murderer's row of schedule. The 17 here, and my gut reaction is like Florida's not the 17th best team. But if you're factoring in what they have, the gauntlet they have to go through, because to me they're a top 10 team.
From a power rankings perspective, right? Because when you're doing a top 25, you're saying, how would other media people who I think are dumb, I don't respect, how would they vote?
Yeah.
That's what a top 25 poll is, because you're trying to predict that.
Yeah.
I hate that, and I'm kind of more of a power poll guy. That just comes from sports gambling. Like, I don't really care what someone's ranking is. I'm interested in their power rating.
Yeah, you want to know who's more likely to win in the matchup.
I want to know neutral field what's going to really happen.
How many SEC teams do you think will make the CFP?
I think more than three. I think three was rare, but it depends how much we cannibalize each other, to be honest, man. Because as long as you have this win-loss, you know, this loss column bias, you're going to have the ACC runner-up always favored over the 9-3 SEC team. Now, last year, you know how they talk about, like, hard cases make bad case law? Alabama did everything it could to make itself unattractive, right? Ole Miss did everything it could to make itself unattractive. They blew it. If you have a 9-3 Florida from this year and they get excluded from the playoff, blow the whole system up.
Yeah.
Because that will be a really good team. And if people are like, well, they lost three games, it's like, dude, they're playing like 9 ranked teams. They're supposed to just go undefeated? Like, give me a break. So
and a lot of this will sort Texas versus Ohio State are going to play. Texas, Georgia, Georgia, Alabama is going to play. I don't know who
even stuff like Auburn, Baylor is going to matter. LSU, yeah. Clemson, like all that stuff matters now because you kind of can create some power rankings off that, right? Interestingly, it didn't seem to matter though when Clemson went 0-3 against the SEC, right? Eventually.
They're kind of sweethearts though. Like it's all right.
There's good reason to think they're going to be really good. I'm just saying
this year for sure. Yeah.
I'm just saying that people are trying to say, I get the whole like SEC gets ridiculous where our number 9 team would win the Big Ten. It's like, no, they wouldn't. But truth is our number 6 team would have won the ACC last year. That's South Carolina. They would have gone and won the ACC. So people get all pissy when you point out things like that, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Paul, who do you think gets to the championship and who do you think wins, Paul?
I think, well, this guy's name is Vol for Life and Texas X. Yep. Therefore,
he's got you see his picture. He's got both Mannings,
dude. He's got the UT, he's got all shades of orange covered. Sure. Our masculine orange and their go to the club with orange glow sticks orange. To make this guy happy, no, I'm not going to make us happy. If he'd done a super fat, I would have said Tennessee, Texas. But now I'm going to say what I really think. I think it's going to be Texas, Alabama.
I have a feeling it's like Texas, LSU. I don't know why I was thinking that yesterday, but I think
I'm not buying the Texas, Georgia chalk.
Yeah. Yeah. Georgia needs to show me something, dude. And please don't slaughter us. What drives me nuts about rewatching the SEC championship game is that game was there for us. We just blew it. Like it was just dropping balls, penalties. Like Georgia was like, would you like to win the SEC championship? And you just see Sark on the sidelines just yelling into the headset, like into the second quarter of like, what are we doing? Like,
well, the first half, we kicked the crap out of them and scored 6-3 or something at half.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh no, it should have been like 20-3.
I thought the most painful game to rewatch would be Ohio State. No, dude. It's that SEC championship. It was right there, dude. And we just, for whatever reason, man. Wild. All right, dude. Anything else you want to point out?
Yeah, I'm just tired of all these overrated teams.
Cool.
Well, one of those teams overrated.
Do you think OU's underrated because they're not even ranked?
No, they're overrated for not being ranked.
Good. I agree.
They're trying to be the dark horse.
Their fan base is already doing the thank God we weren't ranked. Remember when we sucked? you had to say stupid stuff like
now these players are motivated.
Yeah, now they're motivated, dude. So it was cracking me up, dude. They're
cracking the rankings.
They're
that early win against Michigan, right?
Yeah, they can absolutely get in, but it just remember when we sucked, all this stuff we had to like cope. They're going exactly through what we went through, and we try to tell them like the year before, like, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's just funny to watch. We were in that same place making all those weak arguments and stuff like
that. Yeah, there's a lot of bargaining that happens when your once amazing program wanders in the wilderness.
Well, you got to do the same thing, right? Like right now, Kirby Smart is like number 4. And you know, so it's like Ohio State right now is like number 2. Like, so everyone does play that game, but it's funny when you're playing that game, not even ranked.
The disrespect game is my favorite part of the internet and YouTube comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for example, I'll say something like, hey, Trey Wisner averaged 4.7 yards per carry. That's the lowest for a lead back since 2017 with Daniel Young. People are like, the Wisner disrespect is out of control.
It's always like, no, it's always framed too. It's like, man, the ex player hate. It's like,
and I'm always like, naming a literally stated objective facts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always, it's so strange. Or they'll take one sentence out of a paragraph of your argument to glom onto.
Someone said Paul can't do 225 17 times. Disrespect is out of control.
Yeah, dude. It's like,
always, I can't. It's disrespect nonetheless.
It's wild, dude. The internet's a fun place, man. The beautiful part about sports content is people like to engage. The bad part about sports content is people like to engage, you know? So it's,
where do they need to go engage with the best content, Connor?
I have no idea, dude. Oh, wait. InsideTexas.com, guys. Recruiting coverage. We're trying to finish out this class. Maybe we can get some flips. Maybe we can. We'll see. We got some guys announcing coming up, too. Maybe Jake Kruhl. He'll announce here, I guess, in a little while. Texas in the mix there for that edge. You need to check that out. Also, talking 2027, man, that's a really special class that's coming up. So if you want to get a year ahead, go ahead and do that. And then also, team news is going crazy right now, guys. Football is back. Eric is giving you practice reports after every practice. You're going to know exactly what's up, who's playing, who's not, who's starting, who's in a battle, who looked good, who's struggling, all of that. You'll know your team inside and out. Come to InsideTexas.com, guys. And to your benefit, you can get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. Guys, get Paul's book. You guys enjoy him on the show? Well, enjoy him on the page. The 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thanking Texas Football. All the links are in the description. You can get the physical copy that Paul proudly presents to you on camera, or you can get the digital if you're an e-reader, man of the future like myself.
That's right. Actually, I'm better on the page, just so y'all know.
All right, guys. No, he doesn't announce today. I think it's in October, honestly. All right, guys. Have a wonderful day. I enjoyed chatting with you guys. You did a great job. Paul, you did a great job. Everyone, gold stars. Have a wonderful day. We have recruiting intel coming out in a little while. And then we have Girl Herd tonight at 7. So, as always, stay tuned. We're always dropping videos. This was IT Live, and it was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Peace, y'all.